I am Pastor Lee, and it is a joy to once again be standing in front of you, allow the privilege to open God's Word and bring it to His people. Even on mornings like this, where we take a sidestep from our normally scheduled worship Sunday mornings, and we take a moment to build up the body. Every Sunday we do that to an extent, but these Sundays we're going to do it a little more specifically in the way that we do things, intentionally having folks just involved in it. We call them Psalm of Sundays. So this Psalm of Sunday we had planned fell right in line with our It Takes a Village series that we've been going through the last few weeks. So the first week we saw Scott talking about It Takes a Village to bring up the nations, to bless the nations, sorry. Be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. And also being a so that people. God has blessed us so that we can bless others, so that we can serve others. And then we saw last week where Kyle talked about it takes a village to bring up the next generation, and how Paul called us to be imitators of him, and in the same way that we're to be worthy of being imitated by that next generation, and challenging them and caring for them to bring along the next generation to see the kingdom, to see God, to see His church grow, become stronger. And then today we look at taking a village to build up the body. As we wrap that up. Thank you, Haley. It's perfect time. Let me pray for us, then we'll jump in. God, this is your church. And as we see this morning, you've placed all of us here with specific roles and duties, and jobs and gifts, and pray that you make it clear for us, Lord, what those are for each one of us. Your Spirit would move in us this morning. We would encourage one another and love one another to show the outside world what love looks like and what you have done for us, and as we continue just to grow your kingdom here on earth. Father, we love you. Bless our time. It's Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so in our passage that Scott almost preached a little earlier when he read it, I'm starting to get a little worried. I'm like, oh, well, I guess my job's done here this morning. Ephesians 4:11. First off, we see the giver. The giver of good gifts. Now, who is that? Verse 10. It says, He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens. We're talking about Christ, right? So none other than Christ himself. And what did he give? Originally, we're saying he gave, and what did he give? Ultimately, he gave people. He gave people with gifts. As he lists these out, he says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. All of these are gifted people, and that's what Christ gave to the church. So he gave the leaders to the church, and we're going to get to a second in the why, but he gave those to the church. He gave your elders to the church, to fellowship. He gave me, I am a gift to you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know if y'all realize that. I am a gift from Jesus himself. I feel like, as I was thinking through that, I was like, you know what? That is something that Wendy Brunton, she's not here this morning, but it felt like that's something she would tell me. You know, Wendy would look me right in the eye, and she would grab my arm, and she would say, you are such a gift. And I'd be like, I know, Wendy, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:11 is my life verse. So I'm a gift. That's enough of that. I'm sorry. So what for? What was the reason? So verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry and for building up the body of Christ. So the body of Christ, there's our soma that we talked about. And actually in this tense right here, it's actually somatos. I'm correct. I mean, Greek people correct me, but it's somatosis. But but that just didn't quite have the same ring as the Stomato Sunday. It's just Soma Sunday. So, for the building up of the body is why he gave these people these gifts for the building up of the body. See, church, ministry is done by the body, by the saints. Not just by the folks that have been hired to do it or that are just in specific roles in leadership. Ministry is for the church to do those things. Now, some of you may have got a little uncomfortable when I said that for two different reasons. One, that I called you saints. Some of you have been told specifically against that, saying that you're not saints. No, you're sinners. And you tell yourself that on a regular basis. You are not church. You are saints. And that's a whole other sermon that we can get to another day. But church, you are saints, and know that, and that's the way that you're viewed by God our Father. You've also never been told that ministry is your job as church members. You say, well, we've got Todd and Scott. Those are the guys that we got on, you know, we've got them on payroll. And then, you know, we've got a staff of folks. You know, they do ministry as well. You may even introduce somebody as, this is Todd. He's one of our ministers at our church. There's a mindset there that we have to change a little bit, and that we are each one ministers in how we serve and how we care for the world around us and for the folks inside of our church. So at fellowship, we can feel like we do a pretty good job of that, right? I mean, we're a church where I'd say the body itself gets after it. We do a lot. We've got a pretty good hold on this, on the saints doing the work of ministry, not just relying on a select six or eight folks who have leadership roles, but the church itself doing that. But we also see that in relation to other sin as well, how we can feel like we're doing a really good job at it, and then we allow our heart to get a little hardened. See, we're also really good here at Fellowship Church at not murdering people. Okay, we are, I ran some of the numbers and stats, and we're number one in the nation. Okay, we're tied with a lot of other churches. But we're right there, okay? But Jesus talks about a pesky thing in Matthew 5, we talked about several weeks back in our sermon series. He says, you've heard it said, you shall not murder, but I say everyone who's angry with his brother is liable to judgment. Whoever insults and says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. See, if we look at that as our national ranking goes way down. It's a hard issue. Because we always like to point at, I ain't murdered anybody. That's what the world will say. Yep, you know, you're a sinner. Yeah, but I never killed anybody. Well, that's the level we're measuring. It's a tough one. Let's look at our heart. So we can say we are ministering as members of the church and building up, but let's look at our heart. What does that really look like? Saints doing the work of ministry with the end in mind and being effective and efficient in the way that we are ministering, in the way that we're caring for one another, in the way that we're building one another up. And it's one of the reasons we want to have a Sunday set aside where we just do that, where we allow, as leadership, as your gift, our team, allowing you the opportunity to build up and to care for the others in the community. See, we know that for a body to be working efficiently and effectively, all the parts have to be doing their job, have to be working along. Like the heart's got all these valves, and they all have to be working. If one of the valves isn't working, the heart's not going to keep doing its job. And it's going to affect everything else. Your fingers tingle, and you can't walk, and all because one of the valves isn't doing its job. See, we look for what is the end result. If we're willing to work efficiently and effectively as a body, what's the end result that we're looking for? Verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the fullness of Christ, so underline that one in your Bible, this is a so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Do you know any fellow believers that that describes? Grabbing whatever wind of doctrine, whatever flavor is being thrown out this week on Instagram, whatever somebody's flapping their gums about on their new podcast, like trying to think of something, this new twist on doctrine. We know folks that it never fails. Whenever you see them, like, hey, I've been listening to this guy and listening to this new take on what this looks like. How involved are they in their local church? Maybe they are, maybe they're not. There's a tell there. See, I'm not even going to bring up specific names or preachers that are out there doing this stuff because our tribes have gotten so toxic and we're just afraid to even say names. And somebody jump on you and be like, I love this guy. And he sounds similar to I'm for Paul and I'm for Apollos. Like, it's nothing new under the sun. But I'll say I watched a documentary in the last couple weeks about a man who claims to be in the Christian camps as a preacher, but he's wearing the badge of heretic around like it's something great. And there's probably folks here who have his book on their shelf, but so proud that he's doing things differently and bucking the system. He's leading folks away from the truth, and that man is evil for doing what he is doing. How do we avoid these things, Pastor? How is he getting away with this? Verse 14b, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. How do we avoid those things, Pastor? The church, the body, doing its job. Okay? We can avoid those things. But whenever you hear them, you're like, hey, that, you know, tickles my ears. It sounds right. But hey, Matt Webster, did you hear that? I was listening to this thing. And then Matt would say, no, that's terrible. It's blasphemous. It's heresy. And you're like, oh, yeah, I see where that didn't. Oh, wow. I missed that. But if I sit there and just mull on it by myself in my own little world, I'm like, oh, this makes so much sense. Oh, because my mind is so big. Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. No, whenever we bring it to somebody else in the church, you're like, hey, I'm struggling with this thing. You take it to your pastors, take it to your leaders. Take it to your GCG guys. Say, hey, this doesn't sound right. This is something I'm wrestling through. The church, body, doing its job. Verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love. See, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which is equipped. When each part is working properly, making the body grow so it builds itself up in love. Nobody ever accused Paul of being afraid of a run-on sentence. That is the end. That's the end goal. That's where we're looking for right there. Being built up, joined together where the whole body is working effectively and efficiently. See, this is where we get a little, not little, we get practical. It's such a beautiful analogy that Paul gives us here. We see Jesus' plan for the whole process of how this is supposed to work, how this being a body, how this church thing is supposed to work together. See, here's my distillation. Okay? I'm not even going to call it my translation. This is just where I got from it. I broke it down really simply. He gave leaders to equip the saints to build up the body so we won't be deceived and instead grow in godliness with each body part working properly. So for this plan to work, every body part has to be in sync. Meaning every member, every body part is important. This is really important to hear, church. Every member, every part has a function. There is no member that is without a gift. And you may think that, Christian sitting in your seat like, I have no gifts. I have nothing to bring. I'm just here. Hey, that's a gift. Your presence here today is a gift to somebody else. But there is no member hear me clearly, without a gift and what you have to bring and what you have to offer this body, even the uvula, that little dangly thing inside your mouth, it's got a job. It's there for a reason. See, our arrogance and our pride can get us in our own heads of thinking, well, if I'm not the leg, what use am I? If I'm not the hand, I'm nothing. See, the fact is that nobody's the hand. Nobody's the leg. Those are really big parts made up of a bunch of other parts. See? The hand has 27 bones in each hand, all that work together, along with ligaments and joints and capillaries and vessels, and there's a lot of other jargon, biological, that I don't know what it's called, but I got bones and ligaments and joints. I can do those. And I can show you on my hand as they work together. See, that hand with all those bones and joints and ligaments is connected to an arm, connected to an elbow, connected to a shoulder, to a torso, to a waist, to legs. All those things are done. It's not a hand out here on its own with all these parts. It's all connected. Beautiful analogy. But what does that look like practically for us, church? Okay, I see I'm a part. I'm a bone in a hand. Okay, I accept that. What does that mean? What does that look like for me to do? So I can't give you that specifically, especially not from up here. We don't have the time, but I'd be glad to sit with you and be like, hey, what do your gifts look like for our church? Any of us, elders, pastors, would love to do that. Give me your GCG leader. He would love to do that. She would love to do that. Let's talk through that. But here's what it looked like for me in the church itself, the church being the body, what it's looked like for me over my time that I've been here at Fellowship specifically. So it looked like families inviting a single 25-year-old guy into their homes for supper and then sitting around afterwards with conversation. Like, that was a very tangible way. I would go home and eat a microwave meal, if not for that. Or I could be invited over to eat a nice, warm, good meal. And then sit around for conversation where people just care. I saw that as a 25-year-old guy. It looked like calling a couple married guys whenever my girlfriend broke up with me and saying, hey, I got to figure out how to win her back. And it took those same guys, it looked like those same guys encouraging me to look more like Jesus, or she should never have me back. Guys calling me out on my sin and my garbage. That was all part of the church. It looked like marrying that girl, surrounded by the body for a celebration of seeing God's goodness to me. From the church being the church being the body, and building me up and serving my part. It looked like hours and hours spent around fires or in living rooms or back decks, talking about Jesus, confessing sin, hearing sin confessed, in struggles, hearing about victories, hear about God's goodness to families in this church, hearing about adoptions, hearing about births, pregnancies, sharing meals and coffee, sitting across from other men, confessing sin, celebrating growth in our lives, that we're not the same people we were before. I'm a different man today than I was 15, 16 years ago, because the body building me up and doing its job. Thank you, Fellowship Church. Just showing up is a way that has been beneficial for our church and for me in general, just being here on times when I didn't feel like it. But man, just showing up and feeling the bond of fellowship, that we just caring for one another. Hebrews 10:24, stirring one another up to love and to good works. Body parts working properly makes it grow so that it builds itself up in love. See, our bodies have more than 600 muscles attached to our skeleton. And if any of them are sore or get tweaked in some weird way. We know it when we do something as simple as just try to stand up. I'm becoming more and more aware of that as I turn 40. Like, I don't know what happens in the middle of the night, but you wake up in the morning and something hurts. I was warned of that, and I hit 40, and there it was. See, we have to exercise our parts, or they lose function. It's called atrophy. So, church, let's move. What is that? What does exercise and what does move look like for our church? Well, for one, it looks like GCG. We just got the new GCG season fired up this week. And man, that is exciting. It's an exciting time of the year. We're moving things around. You know, some people, it's like first day of school. We're kind of scared. Get your new backpack. Go to GCG. But it's exciting. Like, we're going to build relationships with new families. Some folks are staying in the same grade. You know, like, it's fine. You know, it's great. You're staying right there together. What that looks like inside of that is asking hard questions. Ryan Scheller, they're here this morning. Ryan Scheller is one of our best question askers. I feel like there should be an award for the best question asker in fellowship. Ryan Scheller gets it. And it's because he cares, and he doesn't just care for you whenever he's asking that question. He cares for the body. The Shetlers care about fellowship. And as they ask those questions to dive deep, he wants to find out about you, but he also wants you to find out more about yourself. That's what I've learned. It's one of his tricks. Because there may be questions that he asks I don't know the answer to, and I got to think about it for a minute. I may have to get back to him later on. It has challenged me, not just because of him asking me those questions, but it's made me ask other folks better questions and care for them. That's building up the body. So not just asking hard questions, but answering hard questions when one of those is asked you. You may not have the answer right then, but think deeply on it and get back to that person to answer that question. Encourage one another. Speak to each other on what you see in their lives. Tell them what you see. Here's what I see going on in your life, and I love that. I appreciate it in what you do. You know what? I noticed that you are here before everybody else. Setting up, thank you for that. I appreciate it. I saw the way that you were caring for that person the other day. I noticed you getting Greg out of the car the other day. Thank you for picking him up. Continue doing what you're doing. Encourage one another. And share what God's teaching you. That's encouragement to me when I hear what God is doing in your life. How you are struggling, how you were struggling, and then you got to this point, the victories that you're having. Man, there is so much good to be found in the goodness of God in your life that I would never know unless you talk about it. And we're going to have some time for that here coming up in a minute. And I encourage you to do that. Step into it. Share what God is doing in your heart and in your life right now. Sign up somewhere to serve. See, it is my desire to see this body go from a sitting position to standing, to go from sitting all the way to standing with all the parts working in synchrony, in synergy, raising its hands in unison with all the things in the ear, nose, and throat all working together, joining in song and praising our good God, our King, with hands raised as a full body, seeing all those pieces do what they do. That may include some dancing or a worship kick, I don't know. But all those things work together to praise our God, who is worthy of every bit of that. See, as a local church, Jonathan Lehman says in one of our membership book that we give out to new members as we talk through membership, that the local church, we have a privilege to define love for the world. Like, that is one thing that the local church does. We get to define love. When out there you can get 47 different definitions of what love is, we have true love here. John 13:34. Love one another, and by this people will know that you are my disciples. See, it looks like a holy God coming down in spite of me shaking my fist at him, hanging on a cross for my sin, taking my shame, making me and you, Christian, as white as snow. See, if you're here today and you haven't experienced that, I invite you. Now, I implore you, I beg you, to call out to the giver of good gifts, to Christ, to turn from your sin and to meet your new Savior. Today is the day for that. I would love to talk with you. Any of our other pastors would love to talk to you after the service, or any of our members would love to talk with you, because our members are ministers as well. We can all share with you what God has done in our own hearts and point you to who he is, to show you what it means to define on this week after Valentine's Day what true love looks like. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning and for using my feeble words. To lift up your body, your church, God. I pray that it is built up because of what we do here this morning. Built up in love. And you're good to us, you provide for us, you give us everything we need. Thank you, Lord, for our leaders that you have so graciously given us. I pray you continue to bless the rest of our time this morning as we spend time worshiping you, because you're worthy of it. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray.